Hi, Kevin here. This is For the Record, program number 1380. Team Trump Takes the Field, part 6. This is being recorded on May 2nd of the year 2025. Please get the 64 gigabyte flash drive that has all of my life's printed and recorded work, plus a mini library of old anti-fascist books, articles by our brilliant contributing editor, Para Fractal, and other expert commentary. And sadly, things are going exactly as I had feared they had. It's not to boast. But it ain't looking good, folks. And I think the UFO op may be happening much sooner than we thought. I'm not going to take the time to recap what we covered in our last program, because then we won't have any time at all. But I've been reading from an article from the Hate Watch blog of the Southern Poverty Law Center called Close Encounters of the Racist Kindness by Alexander Zaitchik, Z-A-I-T-C-H-I-K, from January 2nd of 2018. And he's talking about the Brothers from Space stuff. And once again, the context, there were two BS articles in the Daily Mail of the UK talking about how there were huge chambers built beneath the pyramids, deeper than the pyramids, and so it's proof that ancient aliens built the pyramids. And I can't use the language that I would like to use in this context, because the SEC wouldn't like that at all. But I have to reach into the foulest backwaters of my vocabulary to accurately characterize this stuff. But once again, the whole ancient astronauts, Eric von Däniken, chariots of the gods BS is gaining traction. And Elon Musk, of all people, has opined that, yep, the pyramids were built by ancient aliens, and his grandfather, Joshua Haldeman, was obsessed with searching for evidence of a pre-African white civilization in southern Africa, very similar to what Andrew Jackson, one of Donald Trump's role models, was talking about in connection with an ancient white civilization that inhabited North America. But then the Indians came, quote, Indians, unquote, came and wiped them out, blah, 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 blah. And we're talking about the racist overtones of the whole UFO, ancient astronauts, etc. phenomena. Reading from the article again, Close Encounters of the Racist Kind, picking up where we left off. While the appeal of these theories has roots in Jacksonian justification for manifest destiny, their current manifestations are closely intertwined with the venomous persecution complexes that motivate the modern far right. Quote, pseudo-histories feed the self-importance and aggrievement of neo-Nazis and alt-right folk, unquote, says Benjamin Radford, a fellow with the Committee for Skeptical Inquiry who has written widely on pseudo-history and claims of paranormal activity. Quote, they feel their rightful place in the world has been denied them, quote, by big archaeology, unquote, by Jews, by an oppressive government, unquote. And the next section is called The Nazi Connection. The basic tenets of alt-archaeology and alt-history are foundational to the ideology and program of National Socialism, but the Nazis did not invent them. The Nazi belief in a pure Aryan race with a glorious ancient past and distinct genetic history was central to a transatlantic 19th century occult scene that featured a heavy German influence. After Hitler assumed power, this belief was institutionalized in the form of the Ancestral Heritage and Teaching Society, or the Ammerba, an alt archaeology research outfit founded by Heinrich Himmler and the Atlantis theorist Hermann Wirth, last name capital W-I-R-T-H. Under the banner of the Ammerba, Nazi explorers fanned out across Europe and the globe in search of relics holding possibly supernatural hints of ancient Aryan glory. Parenthetically, in the series of interviews with the brilliant Peter Lavenda, we went into that. So there's good discussion of that in the archives. Continuing. In 1938, a team was dispatched to Iceland in search of the lost Aryan civilization of Tula, which Nazi leaders discovered in an Icelandic epic poem. Among the Nazis' interests in Tula was the legend of a race of ancient Aryan giants. Versions of this myth remain common among biblically focused alt historians like Steve Quayle and L.A. Marzulli, M-A-R-Z-U-L-L-I. Belief in these legends was possible because of the Nazis' sharp rejection of the Enlightenment. Dismissing the science of racial diversification and the archaeological record, they reveled in symbology, myths, and legends of, quote, pure, unquote, ancient kingdoms that conquered the world under its symbol, the swastika. This, the Nazis believed, explained the symbol's presence in both Native American and Indian art. The next section, called The Salutrians and the Original White Genocide, unquote. By the way, the brilliant Hal Sanderson has spoken about this in some of the Zoom meetings available to the people who are on the Patreon channel. Continuing. The Salutrians and the Original, quote, White Genocide, unquote. In the U.S., the average member of the far right is likely more familiar with the modern version of Jackson's race of the Mound Builders, known as the Salutrians. The name is taken from a hypothesis first promoted in the 1930s by the American archaeologist Frank Hibben, H-I-B-B-E-N, who discovered arrowheads in North America that predated the earliest Native American culture known at that time, the Clovis. The arrowheads, argued Hibben, resembled those of the Salutrians, a Stone Age people who inhabited southwestern Europe. Most of the field quickly dismissed the similarity as meaningless, but Hibben found adherence among those yearnings for a new... One more time. Most of the field quickly dismissed the similarity as meaningless, but Hibben found adherence among those yearning for a new and more scientifically respectable version of Jackson's, quote, once powerful race, unquote. For them, the arrowheads and other contested findings proved that, quote, European, unquote, Salutrians migrated to America across the northern ice shelf millennia before the, quote, Mongoloids, unquote, as Salutrian appearance are apt to describe Native Americans. By the way, it should also be noted that there is pretty good evidence at this point that there were some Viking explorers who were able to make it across the Atlantic. They weren't Salutrians, but the real secret for the Vikings were their longships, which were very effective seagoing vessels and also could sail up rivers and stuff so they could attack settlements, and it was the one of the sources of their military prowess and of their seafaring prowess in particular. Continuing. For them, the arrowheads and other contested findings proved the, quote, European, unquote, Salutrians migrated to America across the northern ice shelf millennia before the, quote, Mongoloids, unquote, as Salutrian adherents are apt to describe Native Americans. There is a second punchline to white nationalists continuing to hold up the Salutrians as victims of a prehistoric white persecution drama. Most scholars believe the Salutrians preceded racial diversification and their arrowheads are artifacts of a dark-skinned people not long out of North Africa. The next section, Atlantis, Aliens, and Ancient Astronauts. And we should add, perhaps, Elon Musk, and perhaps Anna Paulina Luna, and the Daily Mail help. Atlantis, Aliens, and Ancient Astronauts. In 1882, a decade before the Smithsonian debunked the race of the Mound Builders, a Minnesota congressman and writer named Ignatius Loyola Donnelly, capital D-O-L-L-M-E-L-L-Y, published Atlantis, The Antediluvian World. The book provided another and more elaborate theory of an Aryan-looking super-civilization that diffused technology to the rest of the world. Donnell's book, based on mentions of Atlantis by Plato, cut the template for the sci-fi-tinged, lost white civilization theories now experiencing a revival on cable television and beyond. But just as Atlantis theory gained traction following the debunking of the Mound Builders, so have theories of ancient Aryan astronauts superseded Atlantis with the mapping of the oceans and their floors. In the 1960s and 70s, Eric von Däniken and Zechariah Sitchin, capital Zechariah, last name capital Sitchin, put a twist on myths about Aryan visitors from a lost civilization predating the latest ice age. These visitors to Mesoamerica didn't come from Atlantis, but from the sky. Bestsellers like von Däniken's Chariots of the Gods, 7 million sold and counting, popularized the idea that Aryan-looking aliens brought science and technology to primitive peoples around the world. In recent years, Graham Hancock has repackaged ancient astronaut theory for a new generation of his best-selling Fingerprints of the Gods, and through steady work as a, quote, History Channel, talking head. Today's far right is divided on ancient astronaut theory. On the one hand, it denies agency to brown-skinned peoples and features Aryan-looking heroes, which they consider good things, but it also deprives ancient human Aryans of the accomplishments credited to them so lavishly in Atlantis and other theories. Consider the case of Patrick Chouinard, Chouinard, a prolific writer who operates alt history sites. RenegadeTribune.com and AncientAryans.com. The latter's site's symbols, the Norse moon, was also the logo of the Nazi Annamerba. Like the Nazis, the sites are dedicated to recapturing a lost, pure Aryan civilization, one respectful of but not dependent on alien life. In September, Chouinard cast a critical eye on the upcoming 10th season of the History Channel's Ancient Aliens in an article titled, Are Ancient Aliens Theorists Selling Our People Short? Unquote. Chouinard believes they are. He cites an old episode of the H2's In Search of Aliens, in which the hosts Giorgio Tsoukalos, G-S-O-U-K-A-L-O-S, and David Childress explored the alleged mystery of some elongated skulls, unquote, discovered in Peru. Chouinard scoffs at the hosts' conclusions that the skulls belong to aliens. Rather, he argued, reconstructions, quote, show a very Nordic facial structure with a huge cranium, unquote. This could be proof, furthermore, of a, quote, separate branch of the white race that went along its own evolutionary path 5,000 years ago. And who, you might wonder, does Chouinard believe is behind the ancient alien theory that is selling his people short, unquote? The Jews, writes Chouinard, are using the ancient alien camp to confound our race to the point that we deny our own accomplishments. The white race did not need ancient aliens to build our ancient civilizations or to found other civilizations in remote corners of the earth. Our race is capable of so much more, unquote. In 2018, it is dangerous in all ancient history circles to completely discount ancient aliens. Chouinard knows this. Rather than risk alienating his readers, he concedes, quote, it is very possible that visitations from extraterrestrials did happen in ancient times, but I will not conclude that the majority of our accomplishments as a race can be attributed to extraterrestrials, unquote. The next section, UFOs, unquote, refracted, unquote, anti-Semitism. Massive and hopelessly intricate cover-ups, nefarious alien races with gnomish physical features, tales of super-secret Nazi technologies. It was always inevitable, It was always inevitable that the UFO and far-right scenes would end up in bed together. UFO culture cast a shadow over everything in the post-war years, and as noted above, the far right has never been a stranger to the supernatural. In Culture of Conspiracy, the historian Michael Barkun, B-A-R-K-U-N, locates the early 1990s as the decade this convergence accelerated. Books like William Cooper's Behold the Pale Horse and journals published by Georgios Sirius Hatton, H-A-T-O-N-N, describe UFO conspiracies that fit snugly into the New World Order conspiracy template, heavily influencing that decade's militia movement. Oklahoma City bomber Timothy McVeigh was reportedly a fan of Cooper's radio show. But the seeds of this union are much deeper in the post-war record. One of the most important early UFO writers in the early 1950s, William Dudley Pelley, was an American occultist and fascist. His most important disciple, George Hunt Williamson, produced Byzantine UFO theories that incorporated anti-Semitic themes. Williamson's 1958 book, UFOs Confidential, claimed every government on Earth was under the control of a handful of mostly Jewish, quote, international bankers, unquote, which for some reason the author believed included U.S. Supreme Court Justice Felix Frankfurter. Pelley and Williamson's successors are not always or even often so blatantly anti-Semitic. But the fingerprints of anti-Semites are visible in the works of influential modern UFO writers like Jim Morris and Jim Keith. These fingerprints appear in what Barkun calls, quote, refractory racism and anti-Semitism, unquote, in which old tropes are repackaged as an episode of The X-Files. This repackaging often includes not very subtle distinctions between, quote, benevolent, unquote, aliens, tall and Aryan-looking, and, quote, malevolent, unquote, aliens, short, grotesque, often in league with, quote, international bankers, unquote. More than anyone else, the British conspiracist David Icke, I-C-K-E, has popularized the alien version of New World Order conspiracy. The former sportcaster's elaborate theory is the Sgt. Pepper's album cover of the genre, featuring the Masons, the Vatican, the Illuminati, the House of Windsor. Everyone is there. At the center of the theory is an alien race of lizard people from the fifth dimension. Though Icke has always denied trafficking in anti-Semitism, he has endorsed the protocols of the Elders of Zion, the famous forgery and foundational text of modern anti-Semitism, choosing to call it, quote, the Illuminati Protocols, unquote. The next section, Hollow Earth, Secret Nazi Labs, and the South Pole. And by the way, I think that one of the things, well, I'll finish this article, then I'll talk about this. Hollow Earth, Secret Nazi Labs, and the South Pole. Another indisputable development in post-war conspiracy subculture was the rise of a belief in secret Nazi bases underneath Antarctica. The idea of a, quote, hollow, unquote, or, quote, inner earth, unquote, was a key tenet of 19th century occultism, and in the post-war years it reemerged as a setting for escape Nazi scientists working in secret technology and weapons labs. The legend took root during the mid-1970s, nurtured by the Canadian neo-Nazi Ernst Zundel, who argued that Nazis invented flying saucers, A, I suspect they did, and had taken their breakthrough technology to bases deep under the South Pole. Again, breakthrough balls in quotes. The Third Reich was interested in a possible base at the South Pole, and a few high-level Nazis did escape to Argentina, whose national territory includes a slice of Antarctica extending to the South Pole. Zundel and his successors have infused these facts with Victorian inner earth legends and then marinated them over multiple viewings of the 1968 B flick, They Slaved Hitler's Brain. Versions of the theory remain popular on neo-Nazi alt history sites, and in recent years, British tabloids like The Mirror and Daily Star have found clickbait gold in spreading them. The story's persistence, led by Colin Summerhayes of Cambridge University's Polar Research Institute to look, led Colin Summerhayes of Cambridge University's Polar Research Institute to look into the matter, In a 2006 edition of the Polar Record, Summer Hayes presented his heavily footnoted and researched conclusion that secret Nazi bases do not exist and have never existed on or below Antarctica. As exhaustive as it was, it is unlikely Summer Hayes' study had much impact among the theory's adherents. It was, after all, competing with an ever-expanding glut of, quote, hidden history, unquote, books, podcasts, and websites. One of many such titles to appear that year was SS Brotherhood of the Bell, The Nazis' Incredible Secret Technology, penned by Joseph P. Farrell, a prolific alt historian and a regular on Red Ice Radio. I've been reading from the book Close Encounters of the Racist Kind by Alexander Zafik, put out in the Hate Watch blog of the Southern Poverty Law Center. Now, there is a lot of good research in that, but again, the Southern Poverty Law Center, like bloody well knew everybody, gets a lot of it right, but misses a lot. Again, UFOs are real, people. Flying saucers are real. It's late World War II technology. It was, in all probability, developed by the Third Reich, although the U.S. Navy was working on circular aircraft right about the beginning of the World War II in Europe. They were unstable, though, and again, a bit more about that perhaps some other time. But Jacques Cousteau went down to Antarctica and found that parts of Antarctica are ice-free due to geothermal activity. The notion of Nazi bases under Antarctica, I think, should be viewed against the background that certainly Patagonia, or the land of fire, Tierra del Fuego, as it's also known in southern Argentina, was extensively developed as a Nazi UFO base and as a probable landing point at one point for an escaped Adolf Hitler. And again, in the in For the Record programs 914 and 915, 915 and 916, and there were two interviews with the brilliant Gerard Williams, it talks about the escape of Adolf Hitler, arranged by Martin Bormann and Alan Dulles. In Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile, available for download for free on my website, the late brilliant Paul Manning noted that Bormann viewed Fritz Thyssen as, quote, his pipeline to Alan Dulles, and Fritz Thyssen's empire was inextricably linked with the Bush family. But again, you've seen a frisbee. It's a bloody disc-shaped airfoil, and it flies just fine. It wasn't made by space aliens. And aeronautical R&D was focusing early on to develop airframes that avoided right angles in their construction. And if one takes a look where Nazis certainly did go to, South Africa, which is adjacent to Antarctica, Chile, and Argentina, and also Australia and New Zealand. And again, not our brothers in space, but the Third Reich knew the German General Staff was making plans from 1941 on to go underground. They knew that they weren't going to be able to conquer the Soviet Union before the winter kicked in. They knew that America was going to come into the war on the side of the Allies. They were going to be fighting against the British Empire, to China, the Soviet Union and the U.S. They knew they were going to lose and were making plans for the next step. And I strongly suspect that there was a transfer of technology not from space aliens but from the Third Reich. And again, in For the Record Program 1361, Birds of a Feather, D.H. Byrd, founder of the Civil Air Patrol, and someone who rubbed elbows with Adolf Hitler and other Nazis, and who owned not only the Peck's School Book Depository, but the Dow Peck's building, figures into the assassination of JFK, and he was very close to Ernst Udet, who was the real guiding force behind, R&D in the Luftwaffe. Hermann Göring, rather, was the political chief of the Luftwaffe, but was Ernst Udet, who was the real R&D guy. He supposedly died under somewhat ambiguous circumstances in late 1941. I would not dismiss the possibility that his death may have been a cover for his going over to the Allies. And one of the blood relatives of D.H. Byrd was Admiral Richard Byrd, who led Operation High Jump down to Antarctica. And that one of the people on that was none other than H. Keith Thompson, an American agent for the Sicherheitsdienst, that was the SS intelligence service. H. Keith Thompson also served as Margarita Oswald's PR person or press person. Margarita Oswald was the mother of Lee Harvey Oswald, the patsy in the JFK assassination, and H. Keith Thompson's twin roles, so to speak, as a participant in Operation High Jump, Admiral Richard Byrd's journey to Antarctica in 1946, and also as Margarita Oswald's press person following the assassination of JFK, is very interesting indeed. And B.H. Byrd was basically someone who had the control over the dissemination of the research conducted by of any public disclosures of what Admiral Byrd found in Antarctica under Operation High Jump. Again, I don't believe in aliens. I do believe in fascism and Nazism. And the notion that we've been visited by ancient astronauts is BS. A base under Antarctica, I wouldn't rule that out. But they certainly had Patagonia or Tierra del Fuego, the Nazis, that is, heavily developed as a, not only UFO base, but, a submarine base, but also as a way station on the escape of Adolf Hitler. Again, the book A Gray Wolf by Gerard Williams and Simon Dunstan goes into that. I absolutely would not dismiss the possibility that there was a Nazi base in Antarctica. Jacques Cousteau himself, by the way, who has connections to French, had these, he passed away now. He had links to French intelligence. And when he went to Antarctica, he found that parts of Antarctica were ice-free due to geothermal activity. Was he really there maybe to look to see what else was there? I don't know. But I would not dismiss the possibility. And I suspect that there may have been a Nazi base there. But again, it is so polluted with so much other absolute BS. And continuing with the Daily Mail articles. Now, again, the context here, there were a couple of articles in the Daily Mail saying, wow, you know, the pyramid, the big chambers beneath the pyramids, just proves that they were built by space aliens. Elon Musk has said that, we've been visited by space aliens, and Amber Polina Luna's committee is looking into, we've been visited by aliens, space technology. I think that there is technology way beyond what we have been told, but not from aliens. It's just that we have been lied to. I mean, hell, they've lied about UFOs. They're real. They don't come from outer space. The things that are from outer space, and people think of outer space, frankly, but it's a joke. But watch out for the UFO op. Again, when people are just desperate, the economy's collapsed, I think that might happen. When people are dying from the plagues, both natural and genetically engineered, when they have no food, when the food is polluted, when they're living in a rusted out Chevy sport van, battling former Army Rangers for rat-killing turf, and people say, oh, this is terrible, what, we've lost hope. And then, wait a minute, what's that up in the sky? It's a bird, it's a plane, it's space aliens from Uranus. And when the UFOs come down, when the tall, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, fair-skinned space aliens come out and say, yes, we are your brothers from space, they're not from space, and they sure as hell aren't your brothers. But that's what we are going to be pulling lips, I'm afraid. I would note in this regard that in 1949, one of the driving people in the New Age, the SS officer Werner von Braun, also the co-founder, he was the co-founder of the Institute for Noetic Sciences, one of the epicenters of the New Age, and Werner von Braun also was the SS officer who was the head of U.S. space program. In 1949, he wrote a novel about people, about the inhabitants of Mars, and there were nine of them, nine of these superior and beings who lived on Mars, just like the nine. But they were managed or overseen by a tenth being. That tenth being was the Elon. And then there were the nine denizens of Mars. watch out for the UFO out, people. And I'm just looking at, frankly, the circus that Anne Polina Luna is going to be, it has been presiding over. And the sad thing is it's going to discredit the really good research that's been done into the JFK assassination, but it will also weave in the Holocaust denial. Hey, if Lee Harvey Oswald didn't act at all, and he didn't, if James Earl Ray did not kill Martin Luther King, and he didn't, and if Saron Saron didn't kill Robert Kennedy Sr., and he didn't, maybe the Holocaust didn't happen, and then who off to the races? And again, it just... How, you gotta get off the grassy knoll if you're studying the Kennedy assassination. It's one, if you don't understand that, you don't understand America. But you gotta get off the grassy knoll. You're running around counting bullets and cartridge cases and CV-99, the magic bullet. I mean, ye gods. Mind, there's nothing more important to learn about than studying the assassinations and mind control. Saron Saron was a victim of mind control. He didn't kill anybody. He was programmed to act like he was and then framed for the killing. And then there's a brilliant book about the Robert Kennedy assassination. I did a pretty damn good show, if I do say so myself, back 40 years ago, June 5th of 1985, AFA program number 9 about the about the assassination of Robert F. Kennedy Sr. And there's a brilliant book out now called A Lie Too Big to Fail by Lisa Peace, a paperback edition coming out in the spring, I'm told. Again, I get no money from this, but again, if you're going to study the assassinations, you've got to come up, you've got to look at mind control. My God, you've got Tulsi Gabbard, a member of the Hare Krishna cult, and all that. Oh, maybe in this series I'll excerpt for the record 891, but again, it's just wild to see this happening. Now, continuing here with some of Parafractal's commentary before the reading of the Daily Mail articles of, yep, the pyramids were built by aliens, and Anna Polina Luna has endorsed this. Yeah, you gods, and they, well, that's someone who thinks Donald Trump belongs on Mount Rushmore. Okay, continuing. And that Southern Poverty Law Center report from back in 2018 brings us to the following story that has received quite a bit of coverage in recent weeks. The kind of story that has advocates of both, quote, ancient astronauts, unquote, as well as, quote, long lost advanced civilizations, unquote, tittering with excitement. A pair of Italian researchers claim to have discovered a vast underground city beneath the pyramids of Giza. So vast is this previously undiscovered underground complex that a number of researchers are treating it like a paradigm-shattering discovery that should force a reinterpretation of the history of the pyramids. That's the shattering discovery that people getting mainstream treatment in publications like the Daily Mail. Ancient, non-advanced people could not have built these vast structures. Only a lost civilization could have done it. Or aliens. The Daily Mail, from March 30th of 2025, by Harry Howard. Were the pyramids built by aliens? Inside the bizarre conspiracy theory backed, unquote, by Elon Musk after experts make astonishing discovery. And again, this has been debunked. They were not, so the polemic went, the work of, quote, puny, unquote, man, but instead those, quote, giants of Mars, unquote. Bear in mind, the Van Brown novel, Mars Inhabited by Nine Super Beings, supervised by a tenth, the Elon. Yeah. They were not, so the polemic went, the work of, quote, puny, unquote, man, but instead those, quote, giants of Mars, unquote. Yes, the pyramids of Giza, those monuments, the godlike splendor that has stood for more than 4,000 years, were built by aliens. That was the, quote, claim, unquote, made by American astronomer Garrett P. Service, capital S-E-R-V-I-S-S, in his 1898 book, Edison's Conquest of Mars. Perceptive readers will note that Service's work, an unauthorized rewrite of H.G. Wells' 1897 alien invasion novel, The War of the Worlds, was fictional, but it did popularize a theory that even in more recent years has continued to find traction. In 2020, millionaire Tesla boss Elon Musk drew the scorn of experts when he took to Twitter, the social network that he bought in 2022 for $44 billion, to write, quote, aliens built the pyramids, obviously. And again, I can't really characterize that as I would like to, because it wouldn't be FCC acceptable. Continuing, now, the discovery this month of a, quote, underground city, unquote, or an underground city, unquote, lies in a hidden world, unquote, beneath Egypt's most famous pyramids, has again focused attention on the structures that have obsessed experts and amateurs alike for millennia. Just what could the vast network which descends more than a mile into the sands have been used for? The largest of the three pyramids at Giza, the Great Pyramid, was built more than 4,500 years ago around 2560 BC for King Khufu, K-H-U-F-U, who was the second pharaoh of ancient Egypt's fourth dynasty. Until the completion of Lincoln Cathedral in the 14th century, it was the tallest building in the world. The pyramid, which was topped with a gold or electrum capping stone, was built as a sacred tomb for Khufu, who believed himself to be divine. The other two pyramids, built for pharaohs Menkaure and Khafre, capital M-E-N-K-A-U-R-E, and Khafre, capital K-H-A-F-R-E, were constructed decades later. The notion that the structures were built by or with the help of aliens gained further traction with Swiss author Eric von Daniken's influential 1968 book, Chariots of the Gods. He argued that Giza's Great Pyramid could not have been built without the help of advanced alien technology. The author wrote, If we meekly accept the neat package of knowledge that the Egyptologists serve up to us, ancient Egypt appears suddenly and without transition with a fantastic ready-made civilization. Quote, great cities and enormous temples, colossal statues with tremendous expressive power, splendid streets flanked by magnificent sculptures, perfect drainage systems, luxurious tombs carved out of the rock, pyramids of overwhelming size, these and many other wonderful things shot out of the ground, so to speak. Quote, genuine miracles in a country that is suddenly capable of such achievements without recognizable prehistory, unquote. He added, quote, an artificial mountain some 490 feet high and weighing 6,500,000 tons stands there as evidence of an incredible achievement, and this monument is supposed to be nothing more than the burial place of an extravagant king. Anyone who can believe that explanation is welcome to it. The late Belgian author Philip Coppens, capital C-O-P-P-E-N-S, was similarly forthright in his 2011 book, The Ancient Alien Question. He said in one passage, quote, if aliens built the Great Pyramid, then it needs to be argued they were also responsible for at least some of the other pyramids in ancient Egypt, unquote. But experts have rubbished any notion that beings from other planets might have been involved in the construction of the pyramids. Speaking on the BBC's History Extra podcast, British Egyptologist Professor Joyce Tilsley, capital T-Y-L-B-E-S-L-E-Y, said, quote, it's almost sort of a bit like a form of racism, isn't it, that these people couldn't do it, so someone else must have done it, unquote. It's not a little bit like it. Continuing, but I think there's a bit more to it than that, because prior to the idea of aliens helping build the pyramids, we had the idea that maybe people from Atlantis might have helped build the pyramids, and prior to that, we had the idea that God inspired builders to use the pyramid inch, a divinely inspired measurement, to build the pyramids. Quote, so I think it's that there's always been a long succession of theories about how the pyramids might have been built, and as one is sort of superseded by the other. So it doesn't just come out of nowhere. I think it's just a sort of changing and evolving belief as how the pyramids might have been built, and that's just the latest one that we have. Quote, as we become more interested in space and aliens, then they sort of been attached to this theory as well, unquote. The Great Pyramid was supposedly completed in 24 years, but it was built from 2.3 million limestone blocks, with each one weighing between 2.5 and 70 tons. British writer Graham Hancock noted, quote, Assuming the Masons worked 10 hours a day, 365 days a year, they would have needed to place one block every 2 minutes. Well, by the way, the ancient Egyptians had access to lavish amounts of slave labor. And as I mentioned, what they did is they drilled into the limestone small holes, then they inserted dowels that were the same width, the same diameter as the holes. Then they poured water on the dowels. As the dowels became waterlogged, they swelled up, of course, and they split the rocks. It was quite ingenious, but very, very terrestrial. But this discovery that cavernous spaces exist beneath the pyramids was made by researchers from the University of Strathclyde in Glasgow and the Italian University of Pisa. Quote, when we magnify the images, we will reveal that beneath it lies what can only be described as a true underground city, an entire hidden world of many structures, said Corrado Malanga, one of the archaeological researchers. It remains a mystery how much older than the pyramids the structures are. It is also unknown what their purpose is, but they are connected by geometric passages. Even more spectacular are eight vertical columns that descend 2,245 feet into a pair of huge chambers. That depth is almost five times the height of the Khafre Pyramid. The cylinders are aligned in two rows of four that run north to south. Given that the edges of the Great Pyramids face exactly north, south, east, and west, the arrangement of the cylinders is certain to be significant. And around each pillar is a staircase-like walkway. That, again, from where the pyramids built by aliens inside the bizarre conspiracy theories backed by Elon Musk after experts made astonishing discovery, unquote, by Howard of the Daily Mail. Bear in mind, again, that the Office of Management and Budget, which must be interfacing with Elon Musk and Doge, is being advised by a member of the, quote, ex-unquote CIA officer at Amaryllis Fox Kennedy, who managed Brainworm Bobby's presidential campaign. And continuing with the second of these articles, actually the first, this is from March 22nd, and as Terrafactor notes, and that Daily Mail report from March 30th brings us to the following Daily Mail report from 8 days earlier, a report that includes some rather important details regarding the veracity of these findings. Details left out of the March 30th report entirely. The study hasn't been peer-reviewed, and experts have already debunked it. From the Daily Mail by Emily Jane Davies and Stacey Liberatore, wild new theories emerge after scientists claim to have discovered, quote, a vast city, unquote, 6,500 feet below the pyramids of Giza, as Joe Rogan weighs in on, quote, mind-blowing, unquote, development. Wild new theories have emerged after scientists claimed to have discovered a, quote, vast city, unquote, 6,500 feet below the pyramids of Giza. The groundbreaking, quote, groundbreaking, unquote, discovery beneath the Egyptian pyramids has taken the world by storm, and new theories have emerged to cast doubt on how the structures were built. Researchers from Italy and Scotland claim to have uncovered, quote, a vast underground city, unquote, which stretches more than 6,500 feet directly underneath the pyramids of Giza, making them 10 times larger than the pyramids themselves. The bombshell theory, which many experts claim to have already debunked, comes from a study that used radar pulses to create high-resolution images deep into the ground beneath the structures, the same way sonar radar is used to map the depth of the oceans. American podcaster Joe Rogan has now weighed in on the, quote, mind-blowing, unquote, development, calling it, quote, very, very, very weird, unquote. Rogan said, quote, this is insane. It's quite stunning. They don't understand what it is, but it's a uniform structure. There are several pillars, and all of this is very, very weird. It's really crazy. He added, Christopher Dunn believes that the Pyramid of Giza is a big power plant. Quote, he has a theory about why it's built the way it's built. He thinks it coincides with the ability to produce hydrogen to utilize the rays of space and to generate electricity through this. Researcher Jay Anderson added, quote, what has just been announced in relation to the pyramids at the Giza Plateau and the plateau itself is so incredible, so awe-inspiring, and narrative-shattering that I've been sitting here for the last hour trying to wrap my head around the implications of what we were told. It's nothing short of mind-blowing. What's been discovered is that there are huge structures coming down from the base of the pyramid deep into the bedrock. It then connects to massive internal structures deep, deep down. The pyramid itself is already a massive red flag in the ancient Egyptian historical narrative, but now with this discovery, I think it's impossible to say that the Egyptians haven't been taught, I think it's impossible to say that the Egyptians we've been taught about built these structures. Quote, it provides the most extraordinary evidence for a pre-flood era civilization that was flourishing in a way that can scarcely comprehend, unquote. The paper, which has not been peer-reviewed by independent experts, found 8 vertical cylinder-shaped structures extending more than 2,100 feet below the pyramid and more unknown structures 4,000 feet deeper. A press release described the findings as, quote, groundbreaking, unquote, and if true, could rewrite the history of ancient Egypt. However, independent experts have raised serious concerns about the study. Professor Lawrence Conyers, a radar expert at the University of Denver who focuses on archaeology, told DailyMail.com that it is not possible for the technology to penetrate that deeply into the ground, making the idea of an underground city, quote, a huge exaggeration, unquote. Professor Conyers said it is conceivable that there are small structures such as shafts and chambers beneath the pyramids that existed before they were built because the site was, quote, special to ancient people, unquote. He highlighted how, quote, the Mayans and other people in ancient Mesoamerica often built pyramids on top of the entrances of caves or caverns that had ceremonial meaning to them, unquote. The work by Carrara Malanga from Italy's University of Pisa and Filippo Biondi with the University of Strathclyde in Scotland has only been released during an in-person briefing in Italy this week and is yet to be published in a scientific journal where it would need to be analyzed by independent experts. Despite the skepticism, Professor Conyers added that the only way to prove the discoveries to be true would be, quote, targeted excavations, unquote. Again, quoting, my take is that as long as authors are not making things up and that their basic methods are correct, their interpretation should be given a look by all who care about the site, they explained. Quote, we can quibble about interpretations and that is called science, but the basic methods need to be solid. He also told Daily Mail that he could not tell if the technology used actually picked up hidden structures below the pyramid. Quote, they are using all kinds of fancy proprietary data analysis software, said Professor Conyers. Skipping down, Malanga is a ufologist and has appeared on YouTube shows about aliens where he has discussed his more than decade-long career of studying UFO sightings in Italy. Biondi, on the other hand, specializes in radar technology. Malanga and Biondi published a separate peer-reviewed paper in October of 2022 in the scientific journal Remote Sensing, which found hidden runes and ramps inside Khafre, along with evidence of a thermal anomaly near the pyramid's base. The new study used similar technology that got a boost from a satellite orbiting Earth. The new radar technique works by combining satellite radar data with tiny vibrations from naturally occurring seismic movements to construct 3D images of what lies beneath the surface of the Earth without doing any physical digging. Nicole Ciccolo, the project spokesperson, said, quote, a vast underground city has been discovered beneath the pyramids. Quote, the groundbreaking study has redefined the boundaries of satellite data analysis and archaeological exploration, unquote. The cylinder-shaped structures, which Ciccolo referred to as, quote, shafts, unquote, were arranged in 2 parallel rows, blah, blah, blah. I mean, we've covered this before. The team explained the system as other chamber-like structures interconnecting under all 3 of the pyramids. Quote, the existence of vast chambers beneath the Earth's surface, coupled with the size of the pyramids themselves, could have a remarkably strong correlation between the legendary halls of Amenti, Ciccolo said. These new archaeological findings could redefine our understanding of the sacred topography of ancient Egypt, providing spatial coordinates for previously unknown and unexplored subterranean structures, she added. The news has gone viral this week, with X flooded with posts about the potential discovery. Florida Congresswoman Anna Paulina Luna shared a post about the structures on her X page. Oh, man, it just makes me so angry. And again, I mean, it is... Well, once again, Holocaust deniers have long hovered about the periphery of the JFK assassination investigation, because once someone understands that, yes, in fact, Lee Harvey Oswald didn't act at all. He not only didn't act alone, he didn't act at all. He didn't fire a gun on November 22nd, 1963. James Earl Ray didn't fire a gun on April 4th of 1968. And Saron Saron was firing blanks. He was under mind control. I mean, bloody hell, how can you study the assassinations and not come to mind control? Saron Saron, in prison to this day for a crime he did not commit, is a mind control job. He didn't kill anybody, but he was programmed to think he did. But seeing that again lumped in with, you know, investigations into UFOs and September 11th with the untenable controlled demolitions. I mean, it's just, they don't talk about the bank out Pacra or the fact that the CIA had massive connections to the Afghan Mujahideen effort. George W. Bush, George H.W. Bush specifically did. They don't talk about the fact that it appears that the family of Osama bin Laden may have bankrolled Bristol Energy, George Bush's first energy company. But again, you've got Anna Paulina Luna, who, for whatever reason, has misrepresented her background. She claims to have been a Messianic Jew, yet her relatives say she was raised in the Roman Catholic religion, and her grandfather was a Wehrmacht veteran who emigrated here from Canada. One wonders if perhaps he was involved with the Einsatzgruppen, and is that why Anna Paulina Luna misrepresented her background? I'm not saying that is... I'm asking, is it? But again, it's just very, very, very sad. This is going to discredit, for most people, a lot of people, the JFK, MLK, and RFK assassination investigations. I myself have been doing that, obviously, for years. You go back 40 years, AFA 8, done on April 4th of 1968, the 17th anniversary of Martin Luther King's assassination goes into this. And then on June 5th, 1968, April 4th, 1985, the 17th anniversary of the MLK assassination, and June 5th of 1985, the 17th anniversary of the Robert Kennedy assassination. We go into that, and we talk about mind control. And yet, all of this is going to be presided over by Anna Paulina Luna, who thinks Donald Trump belongs on Mount Rushmore. It is very sad. This is going to discredit the assassination research. At the same time, it's going to bolster, you know, yep, space aliens, you know, wow, you know, and I'm not saying there was a Nazi base underneath Antarctica, but the notion that they may have had a submarine base there, the notion that perhaps there was a technology transfer. Certainly, we know that there was Project Paperclip, in which many of the Nazi scientists and also the Japanese people from Unit 731 were brought over here. We merged with the national security establishments of both Japan and Nazi Germany. We know there was technology transfer. Wernher von Braun was part of that. And Wernher von Braun, again, co-founder of the Institute for Noetic Sciences, one of the epicenters of the New Age, and also the SS officer who headed America's space program. He was a Project Paperclip job. So many of them were. Just this past Wednesday, April 30th, was the 50th anniversary of the capitulation of Saigon, the formal end of the Vietnam War. One of the things that featured in that was Agent Orange, the deadly cancer-causing herbicide which killed and continues to kill many Asian people, Vietnamese, Laotians, Cambodians, as well as many GIs who fought there. I've lost some friends and associates to that. Developed by Friedrich Fritz Hoffmann, one of the paperclip imports and the CIA's top poison expert. And the Internet, which we all use, was part of an overlapping series of DARPA counterinsurgency projects called Project Agile, which included the development of Agent Orange. Werner von Braun wrote a novel about Mars, in which Mars was inhabited by 9 super beings, but just like, you know, the 9, the tall, blonde-haired, blue-eyed space aliens who are going to come down, or supposedly going to come down and say, yep, you all evolved from us except for black people. But there were 9 beings inhabiting Mars, but actually there were 10 because they were supervised by a 10th, the Elon. And Werner von Braun was part of that technology transfer. I suspect that may have been going on before. And I think that aside from the Nazi propagandized versions of Operation High Jump, we need to take a close, objective look at that. And again, there are no bloody space aliens, but there are UFOs, and watch out. Watch out, people, because when all this comes to pass, when the economy collapses, when you can't get any good food, when you can't get any vaccines, when diseases, both genetically engineered and just natural, measles, whooping cough, all the things you thought were in the past, well, guess what? When everything is terrible and you have no hope, and again, you're living in a rusted-out Chevy sport van, and your grandchildren are asking you, how come we're living here? What was a Chevy anyway? And why is it we have to go out every morning and battle former Army Rangers for rat-killing turf? That's what goes on. And then suddenly, look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's space aliens from Uranus. And watch out, people, watch out for this circus, frankly, that Anna Paulina Luna is presiding over. It's going to discredit the JFK assassination research by association. And Brainworm Bobby, oh boy, is he going to discredit it. He, textbook case of the broken clock right twice a day. He's right about what happened to his uncle. He's right about what happened to his father, but he is wrong about so much else. And he is going to discredit the research, but what the heck, you know, I mean, it's just really sad. And again, this whole, you know, ancient astronauts, we've been visited by our brothers in space. And we're going to talk about Elon Musk's grandfather bequeathed him. Because not only was Elon Musk's grandfather part of some quasi-Nazi parties prior to and during World War II, but he emigrated to South Africa. He's also a believer that engineers should run everything. And he was convinced that there was an ancient white pre-black civilization in Africa, was looking for that. And just as Andrew Jackson believed that the mound builders were conquered by the Indians, so it was okay to zap them. And we've got Anna Paulina Luna tweeting out or sharing a post about the structures on her X page. Not really that surprising, I suppose. She thinks Donald Trump belongs on Mount Rushmore. Help. Please get the flash drive. All of my life's work on it. 64 gigabytes for a very nominal tax deductible contribution. I get no money whatsoever from this. But please, please get that. This concludes For the Record program number 1380. Team Trump Takes the Field Part 6. This is being recorded on May 2nd of the year 2025. I'm Dave Emery. Have fun.